transportation needs and reforms in the metro area. We are also indirectly addressing climate change and lifestyles of an entire community. Whatever the means of transport community members use to get from one place to another, it impacts everyone else that is around them. And I almost feel that we are a decade or two behind in addressing some of the critical needs and improvements. During this process, the entire team has concluded that TV Highway is number one priority for investment, followed by the 185th corridor, other north-south corridors, and then the Burnside corridor. All corridors need to address the basic three needs: safety, equity, and access to transit. The team made very specific suggestions for each of this corridor, which will invariably address all of the above. TV Highway and 185th corridors need sidewalks. Existing sidewalks need to be improved ASAP. Bus shelters are critical as they provide safe haven in cold, rainy, windy Portland metro area for 8 months. Right now, there are poles for stops. Safe and well-lit bus stops are critical. Protective barriers and platforms are important as there is no separation between highway and transit stops. A raised platform and sidewalk would address safety, protect against flooded water areas, and fast-moving vehicles. More crosswalks are needed to be made with good signals, especially around schools, which don't have crosswalks right now. Pollution control on the 185th and TV Highway intersection is extremely critical. Better connectivity from Cornelius and Forest Grove are important, as that would also ensure economic prosperity and visibility of the diverse small businesses along the entire corridor. As more people move into this area, housing will get more expensive. This, if we want to avoid gentrification and ensure equity, we need to ensure that we have state-of-the-art transport and transit system in place so that community members are living in neighborhoods they want to live in rather than being forced to live in. Since we must take this proposal to voters next year, I feel it is important that we address the improvements suggested by the LIT members very specifically in clear, simple words so that everyone can relate, understand, and vote with clarity. I have often heard, what comes first, development or transportation? Development will keep happening. More and more people continue to move to the Portland metro area. So I feel transportation has to be a half step or one step ahead of that. Because development happens around a good transport system, and then it only has to expand its reach further as required. With transit improvement, we are not just providing a facility. We are creating consciousness and changing mindsets. Thank you.
Thank you, Sush. And I also took this as a formal occasion. I wore socks, so, which is unusual for me this summer. But this has been a really extremely pleasant experience for me. And one of the things that I would like to say about my colleagues and about the product that we have produced for you is that the vast majority of my colleagues are not used to talking about transportation. Some of us have been doing that, in my case, about 43 years now. It's almost like an echo chamber, eventually. We may or may not agree, but we're all talking about the same issues. So what was refreshing was to hear 8 or 9 people who are not used to talking about transportation, but who have experienced transportation and what happens to it and what has happened to it over the last years. And that's a very valuable experience in terms of looking at the set of projects that are being proposed for this area. We were not asked to arrive at consensus. In fact, there was a suggestion that we shouldn't arrive at consensus, so we did. The consensus of the group was that TV Highway was the problem or the major issue that ought to be addressed, that 185th was second, and in one case there was one of our members that thought 185th was first and TV Highway was second. So between the two of them, we did reach consensus that those are the most important things. The other thing I think we reached consensus about was that Barnes-Burnside was relatively low on our priority list. And part of that is, if you look at the neighborhoods it goes through, and if you go back to the major criteria again, equity, safety, moving traffic effectively, none of those things are really predominant on the Burnside Barnes Road area. It does need some additional work on the bus stops, but they've got one bus line and it pretty well is maxed out. I don't know how you're going to get much more ridership out of that corridor. TV Highway, on the other hand, offers tremendous potential, as does 185th. I love, one of the things that was kind of an aha experience for me, and I taught at a little high school for 30 years, so you'd think I would have noticed this, but when you approach that intersection at 185th and TV Highway from 185th going south, the thing that strikes you is how developable all of that central Alloa area is. And this is kind of a push for Washington County's desire to study economic development in the unincorporated areas, because it, given the proper attention on its transportation system, that corridor, that corner at 185th and TV Highway has tremendous potential. The other thing to remember is TV Highway is one of the worst crash corridors in the entire region. I think there were 37 deaths, crash deaths on that in the last 8 years. Many of them from people trying to cross the highway, coming down one side and trying to cross the highway to catch a bus on the other side. I think an inordinate number of people were killed during that. And so having additional crosswalks, having additional better bus stops, having additional sidewalks on TV Highway is really important. I mean, the number one project probably in that area is the flyover, the rail flyover at 185th at Willow Creek, partly because that's the most expensive project, I think, that we looked at. And the other thing, too, I want to add just as a going away thing. We, on our tour of TV Highway, we stopped in Hillsborough. By stopping in Hillsborough, we missed half of the communities of color and underserved communities in Washington County, because they live in Cornelius and Forest Grove. But there is a major project to try to connect those residents of the community with safe bike and pedestrian routes into Hillsborough, where they can catch light rail. The other thing is the whole issue of north-south connection was something that the entire group tumbled to. Whether they've talked about it for 40 years or not, they immediately honed in on the fact that there's no bus service on Cornelius Pass, there's no bus service on Brookwood to speak of, there's not, and the 235th Century Boulevard, which is going to be all the way through, needs to be planned with transit. There are, in that South Hillsborough development, there will be over the next 8 years a growth in population the equivalent of Sherwood. And so if you think about adding the population of Sherwood to TV Highway, I think that really speaks volumes to why that's a really important corridor to deal with. And we think in the line of north-south routes that 217 needs to be raised from a level 2 to a level 1 for consideration for funding.
So with that, any... are there any questions from task force members for the Washington County LIT? Yeah, Mayor Doyle.
Thank you. Thanks for the good work. We look at the county, we all live out here, we really know we're underserved by mass transit. And communities continue to grow, that need is going to continue to grow. Did the team have any conversations around transit, both along the corridors and magically out here, connecting the corridors? And did you identify any opportunities along those lines?
Well, I mean, we obviously identified opportunities on the north-south routes where there's virtually none exist. 185th has some limited transit. You know, one of the really surprising things to me that I learned in the process in talking to some folks Intel's 20,000 population at Rondler Acres and around there, about 65% of the people who work at Intel live north of Sunset Highway and east of 185th. And there is no single seat transit route that gets anybody from there to anywhere close to Intel. It's a two or three bus ride in order to get to Intel. So if you want to increase transit ridership, and if you want to make more people able to rely on transit, that's one of the things that you need to look at. But if you make it safer, if you make it cleaner, if you make it drier, you'll get a lot more people using it.
Steven? It's okay. It's all right. We're learning together.
Is that on now?
I think just, it will be.
So I used to work at Nike a million years ago. So I'm somewhat familiar with the territory out there, although obviously it's changed a lot. And I want to note that earlier this year, we had a gentleman come testify down at Metro who rode his bike from Forest Grove to Metro. And he related his experience, and you know, I imagine it to be death-defying. and I'm one of the sort of bolder cyclists, and I wouldn't even take that. Now, there's a couple things in the meeting notes which are excellent. I wanted to mention, tie together a few of your comments, and then I'm going to ask a question. I think it's somewhat going over what you said, but I think it's so important about TV Highway. So in the discussion themes, you know, it's really clear what the LIT was talking about. In addition to safety, which is clearly highlighted here, was highlighted, you know, in your comments about sidewalks and crossings. There's a lot of focus on anti-displacement as this corridor and region develops. But you know, transit itself, you know, really beams through here. The ideas around transit, we can talk about that. And a specific comment here about transportation choices that reduce reliance on single occupancy vehicles. So Tom, you know, you've mentioned several times about the tremendous potential of this corridor, and I'm just wondering if the LIT or you can here, speaking to the LIT, just go deeper on what that potential is. What would realize the potential, you know, of this amazing corridor that connects so many communities?
And I see that Sush may have a comment too, but let me just briefly say that I think one of the things that would enhance the corridor for all levels of transit is if the transit could get you into downtown Portland or from downtown Portland out in approximately the same amount of time that you could drive it. Now, there's a number of ways that can happen. Some of them, bus rapid transit, for example, is I think something that may be considered on, or should be considered probably on the TV highway. But when I was a young school teacher at Aloha, and my wife was working down at the phone company in Northwest Portland, we went 9 months for a while and decided not to have a car. And we could do that because within about a 20-minute walk from our house, there was a bus stop that had, within a fairly short amount of time, four buses, two 57-line buses that were pretty slow, but two 91 express buses that got her into downtown Portland as quick as I could drive her. The weekend after light rail opened, we had to go out and buy a car because we're 2 miles from light rail and they killed all of the express buses. I think that was to drive ridership to light rail. I don't think you need to do that anymore. I think there's lots of ridership on light rail. I think you could begin to look at starting the 91 expresses back up again. Just as a simple solution. But again, unless you have a designated lane on TV Highway somewhere, the buses are going to move about as fast as the traffic. So,
considering that there is unbarricaded stops for people who are taking the transit system, and it's unsafe for folks crossing the roads, and we must build crosswalks, and we must provide safe spaces for people to wait for transit.
once they feel that they are safe, they can safely cross across, it will make the the transport move faster, the cars and the buses. Yes, we do need express service. I have personally spoken to folks that come from downtown to Hillsborough and Hillsborough, Beaverton, and further into Forest Grove about why they are not using transit system. They say, well, it's faster to take the car, and they don't mind sitting in that hour and a half in the car versus taking transit, because apparently it is slower. And transit doesn't work after midnight in Hillsborough.
Please just introduce yourself.
Okay. I'm Sarah Beachy. I'm also on the committee. I was just going to, my comment, my perspective, and this is just my perspective, but I live north of 26, so I'm in the North Bethany area. And a lot of us don't want to go into downtown. That was my thought off of what you had said. I don't want to go into downtown. Where I'm going, I'm actually going into Beaverton, I'm going into Hillsborough, and maybe I want to go into Forest Grove and whatever. I mean, that's where I tend to go. In my day. So if I, to get over, we go to the movies on TV Highway. It's the only place you can get to a movie theater that doesn't have reserved seating anymore. And if you want to just pick up and go and not be booked out of a movie theater. I'd like to see that area. We go over to Century Highway, to Century High School. My daughter played softball for Westview, and that's, you know, those are the, we train, you know, she trained over there and stuff like that. That's where I'm going. So that north-south corridor connection is important for me, and I believe for more of our residents. We're not always going.
Exactly.
We're not always going east-west. We want all of able to get to the rest of Washington County.
And it does have a ripple effect. What's happening along, we can improve TV Highway, but if we don't improve the roads that feed to TV Highway, we're not going to get anywhere because we're still stuck in traffic then.
So I think that's going to be more true as South Hillsborough develops.
They answered my question.
Perfect.
Huh.
Okay. So I think with that, we'll move on. Oh, we have one more?
Okay. I'll shout so you have to do the microphone thing. Just, you talked a lot about equity and correcting for prior disenfranchisement and talking about not displacing folks. Mm-hmm. And yet something you said when you were kind of providing the summary made me wonder about that, which is, does transportation come before development? We have to get these transportation investments in. But I just wondered how much you talked about our history with transportation investments and how they do displace. And so thinking about not protecting for that through the program investments or other mechanisms we might have when we make these investments, is that irresponsible? I mean,
you know, one of the things that we talked about at Metro when we were looking at what the future held for us in terms of investments, was that we knew we were going to have to invest in transportation. We knew we were going to have to invest in open space and more open space. But we also believed that we needed to invest in affordable housing. And as we sort of lined those up, what became clear to us, because of the number of things that had happened in the Portland area as a result of expanding transit systems into neighborhoods that were underserved, only to discover that the people who were not being served then were forced to move out to where they were not being served again, is that unless we began to look at the affordable housing issue and began to identify ways of creating housing affordability in the areas that we know are going to have improved transit and improved transportation, we cannot avoid the gentrification and the displacement.
So since Cornelius and Forest Grove, the income level is very different from Orenco, we can see what's happened around Orenco Station. Most of the folks that are earning there are 80,000 and above. And so there's plenty of transportation for them while they all can afford cars, although I don't want them to buy cars. But if we don't expand our transport system and transit system, then we are forcing everybody around it, the prices to keep going up, and people will be forced to the fringes. So if we build a better transport system and transit system, people can stay where they are right now instead of constantly getting pushed out.
So I think thank you very much, and we're going to continue
thank
along.
You.
Thank
okay.
you. Or Clackamas is next? Yeah.
Okay, so I'd like to introduce former Speaker of the House Dave Hunt and Martine Koblenz.
Who's going first?
Martine.
Martine? Yeah.
Good evening. My name is Martine Koblenz, and I am happy to be with all of you. And I'm just astounded by how so many people are really interested in transportation. And I've been joking with my husband, because now that I go down to McLaughlin Boulevard, I'm like, I can't look at it the same way anymore. So I'm happy to say that I'm a resident of Clackamas County and also an employee at Clackamas County, and so I'm really invested in our community and in the metro area. And so the parts that I want to share with regards to our LIT is that we, many of us showed up every time, and we were not unanimous. So I think Dave and I will hopefully represent as much as possible the varying views. So the outcomes and the values that your task force has brought forth, I want to highlight four that to me seem to be the ones that kept rising to the top, the values, which were number one, safety, equity, looking at marginalized communities, ease of getting around, I guess I combined two, ease of getting around in clean air, was also a value that kept coming up, and economic development. And so what I will say is that unanimously, LIT members prioritize safety as the number one. So no matter what you all recommend with regards to Clackamas County, we really want you to keep safety at the forefront. And in particular, keeping pedestrians and cyclists, transit users, and folks with limited mobility in mind. And specifically, when we talk about safety improvements, when we're talking about that in our team, we talked about how important it is that that the crossings are visible crossings, and that we noticed that with these corridors, there are long gaps and long stretches in between stoplights before anyone can cross. The other piece too is that another safety element that was important to us was with regards to consistency throughout the corridor. So sometimes there would be a sidewalk, or sometimes there would be a bicycle lane, and then it would disappear, right? So having some consistency throughout. And with regards to cyclists, another really important piece that kept coming to the fore was with regards to protected bike lanes and potentially street trees, and just really thoughtfully designing the intersections so that it's consistent throughout. Okay, so I will say that even though it wasn't unanimous, eight members on our LIT said that McLaughlin is a priority. Did you hear that? Okay. So, and these are the things that we took into consideration. Safety and transit, primarily. So there were high crash areas along that corridor, and it wasn't a coincidence. I noted that it was those high crash areas on the corridor also correlate with marginalized communities where folks live or where the Title I schools exist. The other piece is, which I already mentioned, but on McLaughlin, if you ever go there, you will see there are just long stretches of road before you can cross. And connected to that, the bus stops are not anywhere near crosswalks either. So the placement of the bus stops do not lead to safe crossing. And then it's just not safe for cyclists to go down that road. So we want you to think about prioritizing and investing in equity, thinking about the Title I schools in particular, but the schools in general, safe routes to school, low-income folks, people of color, the aging population, and then also folks with limited mobility. I'm going to give you a chance in a second.
You're good.
And then the other piece was around transit. So transit, investing in transit, and there was a lot of, like, robust conversation about that. But so I'm just going to share all of the ideas that folks brought up. So as you probably already know, there's the MAX stop, the Park Avenue stop. And there was conversation about how, and this is from lived experience, you show up at 7 or 8 in the morning at Park Avenue and there is no parking space. And so then you just keep going in your car because, darn, I tried to get on the MAX and I couldn't, you know. So one of the recommendations from the LIT is to continue the plan to add to the parking garage. The other piece that we talked about was extending the MAX into Gladstone and into Oregon City. And if that can't happen, then we also talked about alternatives such as bus rapid transit, bat lanes, dedicated bus lanes, how important that is. And then one more thing I want to say before I pass it on to Dave is that 5 members of the LIT also prioritize 82nd, but for similar reasons as McLaughlin, so that's why I just want to make mention of that, and I will pass it on to you.
Yeah. And I agree with everything Martine said. I think the, I mean, it's important when you think about Clackamas County. I mean, our county on the same day voted for Hillary Clinton for president and Bud Pierce for governor. So just think about that for a second, and you'll have a sense of our lit team and our county. Right, Mr. Chair? I think one other thing related to McLaughlin, even if light rail is not doable in the next few years, which I don't think anyone on our team thought it was in the next few years, I was actually surprised by the unanimity around that as a priority, extending the light rail down through unincorporated Clackamas County and Gladstone and Oregon City. So even if it's not happening in this round, making choices now that still leave that on the table as an option in some future opportunity when the federal government gets more back into transit, perhaps. I think the one of the challenges of the 4 corridors we looked at, they're all just really dramatically different. As Martine said, I think McLaughlin and 82nd are both really highly developed, huge needs for meeting needs of existing residents all over the place. Not a lot of flexibility in terms of space to work. But as we look down the recommendations for specific projects, I think both for McLaughlin and 82nd, there was the sense that there are so many more things that could and should be done. It's really just a resource issue, which I'll close on, and maybe one possible solution for addressing some of those needs. In terms of the C2C project, I was actually surprised by pretty much unanimity on our group of ranking that last. Not because there's anything particularly wrong with the C2C, but when we were wearing a Clackamas County resident lens, there is just not the same kind of benefit from the C2C for Clackamas County residents that perhaps there are for maybe East Multnomah County residents or other places. So not so much objection to that plan, just as much as lack of priority among the 4 corridors we were looking at. Let me spend some more time on the Sunrise 212 corridor. First of all, I think it's important that when you think about Sunrise and Highway 212 to really think about that corridor as being very unique, certainly among the 4 corridors we looked at and maybe among all the corridors that you all are looking at. For one, it's really 2 corridors in one. When you're looking at the cost of that, you really have to think about it. It is both extending the existing Sunrise and making major enhancements and changes to the existing Highway 212. So even though they're directly parallel, if you're looking at cost, I'd really encourage you to think about that as, I mean, every mile of that is really 2 miles of improvements, trying to meet very different needs, trying to meet freight needs, trying to meet needs for existing residents, trying to meet needs for all the future residents that Chair Bernard mentioned that are coming in that area outside the UGB, current employers, major new employment lands. So you really have a very unique 2 distinct corridors within one corridor. You also have really significant local challenges that have to be met in that corridor, as well as all kinds of through traffic that's going through to Highway 26, through to Central Oregon and beyond. So there's really no way to say to all that traffic from Central Oregon and Highway 26, go somewhere else. They're coming through there pretty much, they're coming through there today, they're gonna come through regardless of what we do. So we need to be able to accommodate them and at the same time find ways to accommodate all the Clackamas County residents that we want to get out to those employment lands, all the local residents. And I was actually really surprised touring that corridor how many pockets of current residents there are, including a lot of low-income neighborhoods, because I drive through there all the time. But I was surprised how many pockets of existing residents there are as well, as well as lots of folks coming. The fact that there is a major new employment area there, I think, really makes that unique. Obviously, very different from a McLaughlin or an 82nd. The fact that we have opportunity, and I heard, I think it may have been Tom who mentioned something about 65% of people go from this particular part of Washington County to Intel. That we don't have employers like that. I mean, we need employers, small, medium, and large, that Clackamas County residents could actually not be commuting, frankly, to your two counties and spend more time within Clackamas County living and working. So that employment area is really significant and is sorely needed. I think the only other thing I was going to mention is we definitely had lots of conversation around equity, and Martine said it well, so I won't repeat any of that. I think having an equity lens, you all obviously have made equity a high priority. The one piece of equity I'd encourage you to add on to, not replace the other pieces of equity you talked about, is geographic equity. Because as we really just started to get into this at our very last meeting, when one of our committee members mentioned what the total scope of this package might look like. And I know you all have decided that the Southwest Corridor is going to be part of the project, and it's going to happen first, and then look at how to divide the rest. Southwest Corridor, I think every member of our team, I don't think there was any objection to that transit corridor at all. But there's also, if you're thinking about passing this measure among Clackamas County voters, there also aren't many Clackamas County voters who are going to see that as a benefit to Clackamas County. Not an objection to it, just not a benefit. So especially thinking with a political lens on this and needing to pass a measure, I would really encourage you to make sure that as you're spreading resources around the region, don't give, you know, we've got plenty of anti-government folks out in our county. Martine and I are not two of them, but plenty of anti-government folks in our county. Don't give them a tool to be able to say, aha, this measure is just all about serving Washington County or about serving Multnomah County or whatever. Make sure that there really is a strong proportional investment in Clackamas County as well as your counties.
Any questions? Come on, Mark.
So there are a couple of Tier 2 projects that I know are popular. Did you guys talk about the Ottawa Bridge or 43 at all?
I don't remember talking about 43. We definitely talked about the Oak Grove, Lake Oswego pedestrian bridge. And there was strong support for that about funding that. It's again, it was as we were starting to talk about projects like that we realized if we are getting a proportional share of resources coming to Clackamas County, some of those projects should be and could be built. Not as an alternative, obviously, to McLaughlin or to Sunrise, but as a valuable project.
Any other questions for Clackamas County LIT members? Okay, you're off the hook. Thank you.
So now we're going to turn our attention to the Multnomah County LIT, and we're going to have Ashton Simpson come up to report out on that. And while Ashton's coming up, I just want to say I really have deep appreciation for the time that the Multnomah County folks spent on this. I know and work with a lot of them personally. They are very busy people being asked to do a lot of things, and the fact that they spent so much time on this is wonderful, especially considering they had the most number of corridors to look at. And unlike some of the other corridors where there's not development yet, so you kind of get to imagine what could go there, a lot of these are complex corridors that have people, that have safety issues, equity issues, and a lot of complexities going on, so they have to work it out.
I want to thank everyone for coming out tonight, and I want to thank the task force for taking time for doing this whole process of improving infrastructure and transportation in our region. I know it was a time-consuming process, but we will get something done. So over the past 10 weeks, the Multnomah County Lit met and toured over towards seven corridors, mostly in East Portland. Our team discussed how each of these projects have an impact on racial equity, transit safety, and anti-displacement and climate change issues. A majority of us intentionally did not prioritize corridors or projects, but instead focused on prioritizing Metro's values and outcomes. Our rationale for not prioritizing corridors was because all of the roadways in Multnomah County are in desperate need of improvement. We were unclear about the amount of funds available, and we wanted to focus on the values of racial equity, transit options, and safety. One of the members of the team, Brian Wong, with us tonight, decided to prioritize the corridors after the final meeting took place with follow-up support for three of other members. And this information will be amended to the report for all of you guys. As a group, we could all agree that East Portland's Tier 1 corridors must be prioritized first. If Metro were to stand by the outcomes it utilized to guide our discussions and also improve transit in a region that has historically been underserved in terms of transit, while also addressing the fact that East Portland or East County has the highest amount of traffic fatalities and injuries across Portland. Our LIT wanted to focus on more immediate safety projects that would improve the lives of everyday working taxpayers who have been previously ignored by past projects, while a few expressed their desire for large projects that would galvanize voters. The team also considered the impacts of climate change and supported accessible, non-auto, multimodal options for cyclists and pedestrians to address the immediate needs of the community while keeping future transit needs in mind. We also expressed a genuine desire to bring a sense of place to the communities in East Portland through community engagement and involvement, partnerships, jurisdictional coordination, and neighborhood agreements. Most of our team asked for additional meetings with the other two counties' LITs before the task force presentation today to gather a holistic view of the regional improvements. We wanted to ensure corridors in multiple counties included intentional project coordination. Several of us specified wanting to incorporate programs that address anti-displacement, housing stability, equity, affordability, and business anti-displacement. Overall, our team has sat through hours of meetings and discussions, and even more in traffic, observing substandard road conditions in need of drastic improvements. We feel that the final report submitted to the task force represents our team's collective body of thoughts and is a clear indicator of where transit improvement and updates are needed. Finally, I want to thank the Metro staff and consultants who facilitated the discussion and also took time to make sure that the entire team's feedback was observed. Thank you.
So Ashton's on the hot seat, but we do have another Multnomah County LIT member in the audience. Are there questions for Multnomah County LIT members or for Ashton? Yeah, Stephen.
Maybe more a comment. I think I can speak as loud as the mic.
Go for it.
I think it's great, your approach, in the sense that, and it's a little surprising that you didn't dwell on projects. Maybe it's the scope of the county or whatever you decided, but I think the emphasis on values and what I'm hearing and reading is safety and equity, really first with other important criteria. And I think we can intuit that that negative safety outcomes are also consistent with an equity lens, and that, as we know, in the city of Portland, that the majority of fatalities on our roads are east of 82nd, right? So I guess the LIT is relying on important to know the right projects that address the outcomes that you stated. Was there a conversation of that sort? I know you had a lot of meetings. I'm just wondering.
So there was conversation, and to be honest with you, how can you prioritize something or corridors with all the same conditions? They are essentially all of our conversations ended with the same solutions most of the time. Better improved sidewalks, lighting, crosswalks, places that were incomplete, in substandard sidewalks. So to prioritize someone else's needs over someone else's needs, somebody else's needs, when they all have the same needs, didn't make sense to us. Especially in a community that has been promised over and over and over and over again projects to improve their area, and people just drive through it and nobody cares and nothing gets done. So we spoke in a holistic way and said, hey, 162nd, 122nd, 181st up to, not down towards C2C, but where people are already, where people are dying, where people of color and people below the poverty line or at the poverty line are struggling to move around the city. It just makes sense, common sense.
Just a couple quick remarks. First, I want to thank all of the members of the local investment teams. It sounds fun and a little grueling. I'm also pretty new to transportation. I've only been a year. I just wanted to say that I didn't hear as much about climate goals from any of the groups as I expected, relative to how much we talked about in here. And I'm going to assume that transit is somewhat of a proxy for climate, and I just want to point out how that was a constant thread through all the LITs, and that transit is essential to all our goals of safety, equity, and carbon reduction. And I'm going to save the rest of my comments for the discussion.
Do you want to respond to that, or?
Well, for me, I'm sorry. Climate is important. I have a 7-year-old, and the world that he has to inherit. Come on, I mean, we all adults in here, and he always says, "What are y'all doing to my planet?" How do you answer that? How do we fix that through transportation? How do we fix that to serve those who? I'm from Houston, and I've sat through Katrina, and I've sat through multiple. Tons of tropical storms and hurricanes, and then when this earthquake happens, people who are low income are the most vulnerable. I have family members to this day who are still recovering from Harvey. So, if we really want to be serious about climate change and we really want to do something right, let's start with transportation. Let's start with, have you ever been in East County on a hot day? Have you seen any street trees? Imagine standing out there at the bus stop waiting for something that is not frequency and you're burning up because it's hot out. I implore anybody to try it.
I think most of the people in the room know this, but it bears repeating. Residents of East Portland are twice as likely to be killed walking down their streets as anyone else in the city. East Portland's our most diverse area. It's also our lowest income. And I was also at Rail Evolution. Someone mentioned that today. And one of the biggest takeaways for me was a statistic that I hadn't heard before, and that was that the biggest factor involved in people being able to lift themselves up out of poverty is commute time. So that just goes to really emphasize how essential this conversation about transit is and how we need to move transit through congestion faster than we are now. It'd also be great if we had the Clackamas person, like, I would love to have the jobs where the people live. We got 12,000 people coming from Washington County to Portland, and 12,000 Portlanders going out to Washington County. Did they trade jobs?
Can I speak to that?
Yeah, but we should maybe talk after this.
Well, I work at the Rosewood Initiative on 162nd and Star. Just in a half mile radius, we serve 14,000 people alone.
Yeah.
14,000 people in a half mile radius.
That's
so.
That is seriously dense for Portland.
Right.
Meredith, you have a question?
I had a question if how much is discussed. One, I think, other point that I'm curious how much it came up is the need for, when we're talking about transit, again, getting out of this just that it's people coming from East Portland into downtown and orienting all the solutions that way versus I didn't know if there was any prioritization around transit needs. Yeah. That kind of level of detail I think would be helpful too to think about for these corridors, how it ranks it.
So in terms of north-south connections, we looked, example was 122nd. It serves Park Rose High School. We also have along that route, there's a Catholic high school right behind Winco, and there's also Shaver Elementary, and there's also a bus stop that doesn't connect to Sandy or Airport Way. And so how do you get folks connected to employment opportunities along Airport Way if they can't find a connection route down 122nd to get to Airport Way? Because there's plenty of work to go that way. So.
Other questions for Multnomah County? Yeah, Amanda.
Thank you so much for your testimony, or for your presentation. I'm curious about the C2C corridor. We heard a little bit about it from the Clackamas LIT, and I know they had placed it as a lower priority, and it looks like there was overlapping analysis there. Can you expand a little bit on what your conversation was about that? I'm looking at the comments, and I don't want to read too much into them, so let's just look at it from your perspective.
I wasn't on that tour, but from conversation with the group, if there was expressed concern about developing and improving transportation where people are already instead of going out and for the prospect. And I think that's been a common theme for all of our conversations, is like, how do we improve the lives of people and fix the infrastructure that's already in place? Which makes sense, especially when you've been disenfranchised and underserved. So,
I kind of want to just point to Brian, just because Ashton, you don't have to speak on behalf of all of the Multnomah County Lit. Were you at the C2C? Would you like to speak to that, Brian?
Yeah,
or actually, come up if you can come up and join us.
CDC, we reached the same conclusion as the prior LIT. There wasn't a lot of broad support for it. There was concerns about the fact that 881st already has a lot of injuries on that roadway, has a lot of unsafe crossings, and it's already a high crash corridor. We had concerns about adding that connector, that we would be putting thousands of more vehicles down that road when we felt like we weren't sure if the safety improvements that were being added to 181st would be able to address those concerns. And plus there are a few, couple schools along that route. So I would say support was soft at best, but I think for the most, I think we were likely to not support it, or not a lot of support.
Thank you, Brian, for coming up. Yeah. Appreciate it. Any other questions for Multnomah County LIT? Not seeing any. Sushmita has a question.
No, I have a comment. On a recent transportation meeting, it was mentioned that a 40-foot bus is not necessarily the answer. I said maybe a 20-foot or a 10-footer is, but a clean energy transit system like a small bus would be an answer to address a lot of climate change issues and to connect all of our counties.
Okay, then I think, Ashton, you want to?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So we're actually ahead of schedule right now, which is very unusual for this group. So maybe we just need to let a lot of